Ash Wednesday, as I've said, begins the season of Lent, which is a season essentially of preparation. We, of course, look to Easter and we get really excited to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and this moment where his death and his resurrection, it conquered sin. Death had been conquered. There's eternal life now available to us through Jesus. We love Easter, right? And yet, Ash Wednesday invites us to look at that in light of our need for a Savior. It invites us to pause and recognize the cost and the consequences of our own humanity, our own brokenness, to remember that Jesus had to do that for a specific reason, and it was because of the faults of who we tend to be. And so I want to just talk briefly through a few of these key themes, themes of mortality, the cost and the consequence of sin. And then I wanted to lead us in a reading of Daniel chapter 9 as an opportunity for kind of corporate confession. And I know maybe so far you're like, that sounds so exciting to dig into that. Truly, this is a gift that we have, and I hope that we see it as such by the end. But in Psalm 39, David, he speaks about the brevity of life. And he says this in Psalm 39, beginning in verse 4. He says, "Show me, Lord, my life's end, the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You've made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom. In vain they rush about, heaping up wealth without knowing whose it will finally be. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Save me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of fools." And there's a couple of things that I think we notice as we look at this passage from Psalm 39 tonight. First, you'll notice that David, he says, "You have made my days," speaking to God, "a mere handbreadth." And what David is talking about here is this recognition that our lives on earth are so much shorter than we tend to often think they are. But he doesn't invite us to, because I don't think this is how he's reflecting on it either, he doesn't invite us to reflect on the shortness of our days to make us panic or fill us with fear or despair or anything like that. I think what David is doing is he's reflecting on the fact that because life is short, we need to live it with intentionality. He says, "In vain we rush about heaping up wealth without knowing whose it will finally be." I think David, as he's gone throughout his own life and his own pursuits of things and his own striving for things, he's come to this moment where he's been looking at himself and saying, "What is the point of all of this? What is my legacy going to be beyond this? Where is my hope really found? What can I truly stand on in this life? What are the things that I can trust in that I believe will actually hold me regardless of what I experience in my life?" And David says, for so many of us, we spend the days and hours of our short life searching for things like wealth, searching for status, searching for security, all of those. And he doesn't necessarily say that those are bad, but for him, David comes to this conclusion. He says, "Lord, what do I look for? I have realized that my hope is in you. My hope is in you and you alone." And one of the foundations of Ash Wednesday is that we're reminded that the foundation of our life, what really matters, is that our hope is found in something real. Our hope is found in something that can truly sustain us, that our hope is found in God, that the one who breathed the breath of life into Adam and formed us out of the dust of the earth, he calls us first and foremost to put our faith in him, to not only create us as he did, but sustain us throughout our time. And David, recognizing that ultimately his hope is found only in God, he says, "Lord, would you save me from all my transgressions?" Now, transgressions are those places where we've walked in rebellion against God's plan. We've looked at his purposes and his priorities for us, his people, and we've said to God, I don't know if I need you in this. I think I have a better plan, or what you're asking me to do is too hard. I can't follow you there. Lord, if my hope is in you, he says, would you forgive me of the times where I have been sinful? Would you forgive me of the times that I have come between this relationship that you desire to have for me, Lord? Because I'm putting a renewed faith in who you are. And tonight, one of the things that I want us to reflect on is this idea that life is short, but not to see that and become saddened by it, but to see that and recognize that because life is short, there is an urgency to what all of us has been called to. In this life, we have been given divine purpose. And because our lives do not go on forever, we cannot simply continue to push off our faithfulness, push off our obedience, leaning too heavily into the grace that we know is infinitely there for us. God calls us to recognize that He can shoulder and sustain our hope. And so, what are those places inside each of us where we feel it hardest to trust God? We feel it hardest to really give Him a part of ourselves and say, I believe that You can hold this. I believe that You can sustain me through this. Ash Wednesday invites us into a place of, like David, saying, Lord, in light of who You are and in light of my own finality, I place my trust in You and I ask that You forgive me for the ways that I've turned my back on You in the past. Second thing, Romans chapter 3, he speaks to this reality of sin. And here, this is the Apostle Paul writing in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. He says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that what that essentially means for all of us, even though it's really hard for us to own, is that we walk in sinful ways, whether we recognize it or not, whether we choose to accept that that is honestly what we do. Paul, he continues on in verse 24, he says, all of us fall short and have sinned, or all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And yet, he points to that grace element and says, all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that comes by Christ Jesus. And so, here again, on Ash Wednesday, we reflect on our sin. We reflect on the ways that we prioritize ourselves over others. We reflect on the sin that is present within each of us, but not as a moment to sort of beat ourselves up. This is not a moment of self-flagellation or saying, woe is me. No, Ash Wednesday is an invitation to acknowledge a reality that is inside of us in light of the beautiful mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. It's an invitation to be real about ourselves, real about our fears, real about our struggles, real about the longings that we have inside of our heart to be closer to Jesus, closer to a purpose, closer to a feeling of peace. And it's an invitation to see those things in light of Jesus Christ, who in the middle of our sin and in the middle of our rebellion continuously offers us life, continuously offers us a very real way to be made right with God. So Paul, he continues writing and he says, all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice for atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. Scripture is very clear that the wages of sin, the wages of rebellion against God, what we rightly deserve, in light of the greatness of God, in light of the love that God has shared with us, in light of the mission that He's doing in this world, which I think if we're honest, we could all get behind. It's the redemption of the world. It's the joy and the peace and the satisfaction of all people, that there be no more mourning, no more pain, no more sickness, any of those things, that we would all live in perfect harmony as God initially intended. That is the goal that Christ put forth, or that was the goal that God had. And because of humanity's shortcomings, because of humanity's desire to make ourselves more important than that mission, what we rightly deserved is punishment. And the beauty of what Paul says here is through the shedding of Christ's blood on the cross, we have a chance to receive forgiveness, even though we have done nothing to earn it. And this is the second thought that I encourage us to reflect on, that grace is offered to us freely every single day. If you ever set foot in a church, I'm sure you've heard this message that Jesus loves you, that God cares for you. He wants to have a relationship with you. That is always the truth. And yet in moments like this, I think we also have to look at that and take it so seriously, because although it is offered to us freely, it was not freely acquired. It came at the cost of the life of Jesus Christ. who was willingly laid down on the cross. And one of my concerns sometimes as a pastor is that because forgiveness has been so freely offered to us so regularly, we're constantly looking at one another and saying, we just gotta love each other. I love you exactly who you're the most amazing person who ever lived, you specifically, but also you as well. We're all super fantastic. God loves you, I love you. Because we tend to operate in such a manner, I think sometimes we take too lightly the death of Jesus Christ. We don't pause to reflect on the reality that our rebellion proves that Jesus had to be beaten and crucified on our behalf. And so because we've gone astray, because we've all sinned, God in his grace, he sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And the beauty of what Romans is really talking about here is because of the shedding of his blood, you and I can receive forgiveness freely, even though we've done nothing to deserve it. And so Ash Wednesday, again, it calls us to reflect on this. And in light of this beautiful reality that is true of us, it invites us to respond in certain ways. In confession, what we're doing when we confess to God our own sins is we're looking at God and we're acknowledging before God, Lord, here is the ways that I have not trusted you. Here is the ways that I prioritize myself, or I have unintentionally or intentionally done harm to other people. These are the ways that I have fallen short. And we own that rebellion against God. And out of that, we confess before him, trusting that there will be grace for us. But then there's also this response of submission to say, Lord, these are the ways that I've fallen short. I've recognized that your ways are truly better than mine. And I don't know, maybe some people in this room have had moments like this where you've been following Jesus for a while or you've been trying your best and then something happens and you go, I don't know why, but my relationship doesn't seem to be sustaining me in this moment. And so you make this declaration. This is a sneak peek into my story, where you have this moment where you say, this isn't working, and so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to take one big step, and I'm going to look to you, God, and I'm going to assume everything in the Bible is 100% real. And I'm going to assume that everything that I've been told about your grace and your mercy and the fact that you have something great for me, I'm going to assume that that is real, and I'm going to lay my life before you and say, God, what would you make of all of this? How would you organize this life? How would you have me move in amongst the people that I love and in the passions that I have? Guide me, direct me in your truth. Confession, repentance, this acknowledgement of this is who I really am, but I want more. And so, God, would you do more with me? This word repentance in the Old Testament is a Hebrew word, shuv. And it literally means turn or return. And we talked a little bit about this last year during our Lenten season when we were looking at the story of Jonah. For those of you who are familiar with the story of Jonah, the Bible describes one of the greatest turns in all of history, where Jonah, he goes to deliver this message of God's judgment upon Nineveh. And this great but also corrupt city turn away from their sin, and from the top down they repent with sackcloth and ashes. And what we are to recognize leading up to Easter is that God is calling us home. We all in this room, myself included, we have wandered away like a prodigal child over the last year, the last month, last week, whatever it is for you. We each day make decisions that go against the greatness of God. We run away from the Father far more often than we care to admit or maybe even realize. We choose to rebel actively at different moments. We neglect our relationship, and yet because of the death of Jesus Christ, God still says, there is a place for you with me. Would you come home? Repentance is not just an I'm sorry for my sin. Repentance says, Father, I'm coming home to receive your grace and the forgiveness that is only offered through the death of your Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm making a decision to live differently in light of what you have done for me. And that's the beautiful truth of Ash Wednesday, and that's the beautiful victory that we then celebrate on Easter, but I think we can only truly celebrate it when we first spent a little time reflecting on why Jesus' acts had to come. And so as we reflect on that, I want to end with a passage from Daniel chapter 9. And here, the prophet Daniel, he reflects on the reality of what sin has meant for the people of Israel specifically. And it's a beautiful prayer, but more specifically, it's a beautiful prayer of confession and repentance, beginning in verse 3 of Daniel 9. It says, "So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him. In prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from our commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered in shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you've scattered us, because of our unfaithfulness to you, we and our kings, our princes and ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we've rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord or kept his laws he gave us through his servants and prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. There is love for you here. Even though we have not shown it, we are still your people. Have mercy on us." And what Daniel says is true. He says, we do not call on your name, God, because we are righteous. We do not call on your name because we feel like we are worthy of your grace, because we are worthy of your blessing, because we are worthy of your calling on our lives. We call out to you, God, because we recognize that you are not only great, but you are merciful. And so what I'd like to do is, if you would let me, I want to lead us in a prayer of confession as we close. And then I'll give some instructions about how we'll kind of close the rest of our gathering and with the ashes and whatnot. But why don't I just give you a moment beforehand? We're just going to take a couple moments of silence. And so maybe if you want to close your eyes, maybe if you want to put both of your feet on the ground and lay your hands open in your lap, just a posture of groundedness, a posture of surrender, a posture of Lord, speak to me. The good news of the gospel is that, yes, we have to recognize our mortality, but we are also awakened to God's mercy when we recognize how much we need it. And so for all of us, where do we need to confess? What do you need to speak? What do you need to recognize and offer before God? I'll give us just a few moments, and then we can pray this prayer of confession together. Would you pray this with me? Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and our neighbor through our own fault. In thought, in word, and deed, in what we have done and what we have left undone, for the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us all our offenses and grant that we may serve you in newness of life. To the glory of your name. Amen. In a moment, we're going to have some reflection questions that come up here on the screen. And what I'd like you to do is to just take a few more moments, just you and God, and reflect. We'll have some music playing in the background, and I mean, if you brought your Bibles tonight, if you brought a journal, or if you want to use your phone or the Connect cards or whatever it is to just kind of write some things down, get some things out. I want to just create a little bit of space for us to think about all of this, because my assumption is what I've said probably speaks to all of us, and yet it looks so different for all of us. And then after a few moments, the screen will sort of invite people forward as you are ready. And at that moment, you can come up to receive an imposition of ashes, either on your forehead or on your hand, if you would prefer, if you'd just like to sort of let me know which. But then after our service, I'll be standing off to the side, and I'd be happy to speak with any of you or be praying with any of you for whatever it is that you wish. But once you've come forward and received the ashes, you are free to go. Or if you'd like to stick around for a little bit, you can do so. I just invite you to go as the Lord leads. Youth group, I think you guys are going to be getting together after service, and so upstairs, and so don't take off right away for just have a little bit of time together before your evening closes. But if I could just pray for us once more, and then we'll start the music, and we'll take our time. But Father, you've created us out of the dust of the earth. And in your grace and in your mercy, you breathe the breath of life into us. And so, Lord, we know that life and breath, the new day that has risen before us, that all of this, Lord, was a gift of your grace. And for all of those things, we are thankful for them. We truly are. And so, Father, in the next few minutes, as we sit and as ashes are imposed upon us, let it be a reminder of our mortality. Let it be a reminder that this life is not all there is, that we are called to eternal life with you, Jesus, but also may the ashes also be a sign of our own humility, of our confession, of our yearning for repentance and in submission to the great things that you promise us. May it also be a sign that we are so dependent upon your grace and your mercy, that you are where our hope is found. And we know, as Scripture says, that you are a merciful God, slow to anger and abounding in love. Father, may we know that truth in a fresh new way. And may we live with the hope of everlasting life that is offered through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.